Hello, and welcome to I'm On My Period Piece. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we are the Sherman Sisters Spooky Edition. Molly asked me a goofy question earlier, which was like, if you could be a traditional classic monster.
A canonical monster.
Yeah. What would you be? And I think we decided I'm a ghost.
Yeah, but we didn't land on firm reasons.
I don't know. Just, you know, a general retiring nature.
Do you think that you're too lazy to move on to the next phase of the afterlife?
Yeah, kind of.
It's like that thing where you like stay at home.
That thing where you like lay on the couch and you're like, oh God, I don't want to get up to go get ready for bed. Just go to sleep.
But so
here.
Like for eternity.
Forever.
I do think that could be you.
Yeah.
And I think that the only reason you'd start throwing like pots and shit around is just people getting in the way of your sitting around time.
Hey. You know, it's important to have your private time.
There's no monster that just chills like a ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, historically, in spooky season and beyond, I like to put my sweatpants on and stay my ass at home. So.
In spooky season. Lindsay.
Listen, I've decided to become a local.
Get real. That's what you do all the time.
What, to be a local?
No, like sit your ass around.
Oh, yeah.
You always act like there's something seasonal and charming about it, but like, you just be doing that all year.
Well, I have children, you see.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for asking. I consider myself a vampire.
Yeah, okay. An energy vampire.
No. Here's the thing. Snacking is really important to them, as is youthfulness. Mm-hmm. A general, like, sexual energy.
Yeah.
Which I do feel I bring. Mm-hmm. Up all night, sleep all day, velvet.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds...
It all checks out.
That sounds very your vibe.
I actually think all Tauruses might be vampires.
I'm gonna have to, like, really ponder my answer a little bit more, but...
Okay. I mean, I think you were onto something with ghost.
I like it. I have an affinity for ghosts.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right. It makes sense. Anyway, shit, this movie.
Okay, this movie was...
Can you tell them what we watched?
Yeah.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It was the wildest shit I think we've watched for this pod.
Dog, it had the same... So, recently, and by recently I mean last Thursday, I threw on Charlie's Angels 2000.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
And was...
With my girl, Drew.
Yeah, Lucy Liu with my girl, Drew, and Cameron D. I was delighted the entire half hour I was awake for it.
Hey.
And this, at times, had the same energy. It was like, oh, this is wacky.
Dishes, wild. I can't believe that happened.
Fun. Whereas, like, I think Charlie's Angels was that, but it was self-aware. And so right. It was like, you know, wink, wink, this is stupid.
No, this movie took itself very seriously.
This movie had, like, actors with a capital A.
Yeah.
And was directed by Francis friggin' Ford Coppola.
I know. He did this. He did this. Let's put it that way.
It was just like... I think he just got
really
ambitious.
It felt like he was, well, we'll talk more about it in a minute, but I will say it feels a little bit like he was like scrapbooking it, you know?
How do you mean?
Like he was like, you know what would be really cool right here is just some footage of blood cells. And then we'll go back to the thing.
No, 100%.
And then I'm going to put these two, they're in different parts of the room, but I'm going to put them on different sides of the screen.
He and the editor were high off the same supply of Coke.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, and it had to have been Coke.
No.
There's no other way.
I need to see who edited this, because whoever it was like, sure, yeah. Oh, I love that shit. Keep it in. And throw a star wipe in there. And if we can just, like, make it look like a periscope for no clear reason.
Let's do it.
And then if we could just superimpose something in the middle third of the screen.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun for everyone.
Anyways, but before we start talking about this flick, I guess we should sync up, bitch.
Yeah, sure.
What have you been up to?
Thanks for asking.
Big week for you.
Actually, like, for once, no,
yeah.
I know. I was just thinking, like, a month ago, I was like, I don't know, working out, eating cheese, trying to sleep. This time it's big. So, let's see. Last Thursday, I had my last day at my former job. Mm-hmm. Last Wednesday. And then the next day, went and flew out to New Orleans.
We love New Orleans.
I did an indirect flight, and God, it was like about half the time of driving. Like, I almost could have driven, but it would have been
worse. Where did y'all have a layover? In Houston?
Houston, yeah. And it was like just long enough to be annoying. But yeah, so we were in New Orleans for 2 nights, stayed at this really quaint little shotgun house in Bywater, literally right across the street from Country Club.
Did it feel haunted?
No.
Oh.
They tried to make it feel haunted, but no. That's a shame. One thing was, like, there was a really, really gross, like, crust of dust on Griff's fan blades.
Mm. Haunted.
She wouldn't let me handle it. And she was like, no, you're not going to get on a ladder right now. And she was right, but it hurt. We went to this place right around the corner called Pizza Delicious that was unbelievable. Craig and I, and Jenny and I, all bought shirts. I'll show it to you. I look very cute in it.
I'm sure that you do.
Honestly, incredible pizza.
I think that there's like a small pocket of Italian folks in
it's not that small. Orleans. Yeah.
Oh, it's not? It's like no. A big pocket?
Yeah, it's a pretty big... I mean, that's how like the muffuletta comes from New Orleans.
Oh, yep, that's right. That's an Italian name.
Yeah. Anyway, that was great. Kicked around New Orleans. We went to Muriel's. Yeah?
Muriel's. Yeah, that's where...
Haunted.
Did I go to Muriel's?
Yeah, for Whitney's rehearsal.
That's what I thought. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was where that was.
We went to Muriel's the second night. We went to Brennan's the first night.
Y'all, like, lived it up.
I know. it was super good, though. It was, like, Brennan's was probably the best meal I can remember. Like, it was incredible.
What did you eat other than, like, bananas fostre?
I had a shrimp and grits that was stupid.
I'm not into shrimp and grits.
I know you're not into shrimp, period.
No, I used to, like, that was, like, the only seafood I would eat, but I tried shrimp and grits one time, and I was like, it's swimming in grease.
No, it was unreal good. And then we had bananas foster, all that good stuff. Anyway, and then we drove to, Lafayette the next day. This whole time I thought Lafayette was the capital of Louisiana, and I was like, I can't believe this is their capital. There's nothing here.
Is it Baton Rouge?
Yeah. I realized as we were leaving town, it was not the capital. But we went there to see a good friend, Emily Wolf, perform. She opened for Heart and Joan Jett, and that was incredible. We were all, like, proud moms, like, crying. It's probably the best I've ever seen her play, honestly, and it was unbelievable. She sounds amazing in an arena.
What a good fit for her too to open for them, because mm-hmm. I feel like she draws like influence from them. You know?
Oh yeah, Joan actually watched from the side stage.
Did that make her nervous,
Joan? I don't know. It's so funny. Em is so humble, but she can also be really unflappable in times, like, when she needs to be. So
she's a consummate professional.
She super is. So proud of her. Unbelievable. And, yeah, then started a new job this week, which,
woo!
Hot tip, I'm loving.
Dude.
I feel happy.
I love to watch you thrive.
I feel light. Things are good.
You seem like you're just like...
There's
a buoyancy there.
I know. Well, Emily was like, hey, your Instagram stories are really good now. And I'm like, I think I have the energy to try to be funny again.
I love that.
I didn't for a while.
You know, hot tip for everyone in Q4 of 2019 is, like, find a job that doesn't suck the life out of you.
Sometimes.
Like a Dracula.
Dracula.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's me. That's my life. Things are going well. It feels like I am going to thrive.
Then flourish. I'm doing well. Been like kind of an extraordinarily busy week for me, like in the evenings. Usually like Parker and I are just like, who's working out on what day? But Monday, I had plans to get dinner with Anjali, which Molly joined us, and that was like so much fun. It was just a balm for my soul.
Yeah.
She's so great. She's so cool. Hey girl. If you're listening.
She is.
Maybe
months later, but she is.
Yeah, she'll get there. But we had just, like, a great time. She's, like, really fun. And then last night, we went to dinner for Brooke's birthday with Sherry and Brooke at Olame, which I'd never been to before. That place was dumb. The biscuits.
Big dumb.
Dumb. The cocktails. Strong.
Oof.
Oof. But, yeah, I was, like... I mean, it's like I've been putting the baby down and then like, all right, I'm ready to go. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So we still haven't seen the Righteous Gemstones from this week because Parker and I have not been in together on an evening.
Fell asleep halfway through it because I was exhausted Sunday night, but man, I was laughing all the way to bed.
Hey, we were laughing. Yeah, so I'm going to have to watch that at some point. But yeah, you know, I'm like behind on my stories. Like, I haven't seen this week's Good Place yet. I haven't seen last night's This Is Us yet.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I got to watch that one the second I get home.
God. This season, I'm not... Jury's out. Jury's out on whether I'm going to stay with this show.
I'm going to stay with it because it gets me. But, yeah. Like, it's not my favorite season.
It's not great.
It's not going great.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, compared to, like, you know, going to New Orleans, like, I'm not that level of booked and busy, but I am... I've done some things. I've been busy, sort of.
I've danced with kings, and I've seen some things that a woman ain't supposed to see. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me.
To me. I felt like there was something I was going to tell you, but I cannot remember what. Oh, earlier Molly called me, and she was like, hey, I'm going to stop and get some dinner. Do you want anything? Other than, you know, pita chips, what you had for lunch. And I was like, how did you know I have pita chips for lunch?
She said, you got real defensive.
She said, you told me. And I was like, I told you that yesterday. How did you know I had them for lunch again today?
You ratted on yourself, bitch.
I'm the world's dumbest bitch. Last week, Parker made, like, he like batch cooks on Sundays, including for me. And the curry he made just, like, did not work out. And so I've just been off my game
since. That's such a passive way of saying Parker made a bad curry.
No, he was like, I don't know, it was like the Instant Pot. Like,
and I can say that because he never listens to this.
Yeah, well, true. The Instant Pot, like, flaked out on us somehow. And so, like, the onions were, like, not cooked and the lentils were not cooked. So ever since then, I've just kind of been like, I'll eat whatever's at the house. So...
I mean, y'all got money. I don't know why you have to live that way.
We don't. It's just the laziness, you see. So anyways.
It's the depression.
It be the depression. But yeah, anyways, you know, not nothing too big, nothing fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we talk about this film?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
So when Molly came over this evening, we both still had an hour left to go. And usually we do not watch the films together. So we have, like, things to say. But, bitch, I gotta say, I was glad to watch it with you.
Cause oh, yeah.
I was just sitting there like, I'm glad to have my experience validated. Like, what the hell is going on in here? Mean, what the hell we going to do now?
I sent you that one.
Yes. I'm trying to remember what that.
Oh, my God. Anna Roach sent it to me. It killed me. Hold on one second.
Referring to the clip from Little Women LA.
Yeah. The residents of a small English town when their economic fortunes are in crisis and they have yet to come up with a male strip show, elderly nude calendar, kinky boot factory...
What the hell we gonna do now? Oh, man. Yeah, so Gary Oldman.
Old man.
We learned some things about him tonight.
Disappointing.
First of all, I knew before starting this film that he's kind of a weirdo. He's best friends with Criss Angel, which is something that Who Weekly really loves to make light of. But I thought, you know, he used to date Uma Thurman. She's good people. And he played Sirius Black. So, like... That's two marks on the yay column. And well, then...
They were running out of British people.
Right. And then I read that Homeboy is a libertarian. Sir?
I don't know, like, where you get off being that when you don't even live here.
Like, oh, yeah, I vote Lib Dem. Well, I don't get to vote in their...
Right. I wouldn't...
I'm a Remainer.
The thought of saying that to a British person, like, sends me just... Like, just douche chills. Like, right. I would never do that.
I would never tell you what my party is in your country.
Right.
Ugh. Anyways. But also, of course he's a libertarian.
Right.
Like, what a weirdo. He's such a weirdo.
I mean, I told you, he is, like, the classic, like thumb and pointer finger resting on the chin.
Yes.
Like, really makes you think. Just to play devil's advocate. I don't know if you saw that thing on Austin Digital Jobs today.
No.
There is nothing like good drama on the local.
Oh my gosh. I have another one to talk about with you.
Oh,
after you go ahead, unless it's the same one.
So someone said, like, women and non-binary people, how honest are you in your exit interviews?
Mm.
And a few people were like, why are you classifying those people? It's like, well, you know why.
Mm-hmm.
But someone came out of nowhere and he was like, just on the other side of the tracks, someone recently asked at an all hands what we're doing to hire more women. And the answer I hoped for is that the most qualified candidate gets it. But what they said instead was that women don't have access to whatever. He's like playing the dummy. And someone was like, let's start with the fact that you preempted your thought with from the other side of the track. So what you're telling me is you were opposed to more women being here.
Right.
Like, because it should seem like you would want more representation. I don't know.
No, I mean.
People went off on that guy.
No, the other thing that this is, boy, we're really like way off track from this movie already.
Who gives a shit?
No, last week, did you see that mess with that mastermind company, Kick-Ass Masterminds?
No.
Oh my God. First of all, the name of that company makes me want to burrow in a hole.
Wait, the ones that shamed that girl in the bikini picture?
They bikini shamed this girl who was applying for an internship. And it turns out, so I like looked up the founder and I have one mutual Facebook friend with her. And I was like, I'm just so curious. Like, this girl deleted the whole company's website, but she still like got a Facebook presence. And like, I was able to see most of her account. And I was like, dude, like, I don't know what the hell we gonna do now. What do you do after you, like, buffet that completely? Like,
wait, like, as a company?
Yes.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess, like, transplant your entire personality. I don't know. Like, that was bad.
I mean, but, like, why would you roll the dice on shaming, like a 22-year-old for literally wearing, like, first of all, there's no need to shame her, period, but, like,
it's a swimsuit.
It's a swimsuit.
Ugh. Anyways, okay. Austin Digital Jobs.
The drama there is good.
Like, it's drama. Even if you're... But there's always somebody that's willing to be like, well, just to play devil's avocado here.
Yeah, always. Barf. It's like, I have been in that group for like 10 years at this point.
Yeah.
Most of that time not looking for a job, just looking for drama.
Oh, yeah.
And I won't leave because I love the drama.
And you'll never not find it.
And you never won't not.
It's always there.
Yeah, Lindsay and I like will talk about people from that group like we know them.
Oh, yeah.
And we do not know
them. No, we don't. They just post a lot. Mm. And we love it.
And we love it. Okay, this movie. Hold on, let me adjust the mic a little bit. I'm tired of
leaning over.
I'm working on my posture because now I've decided to be happy and healthy.
Okay, so Gary Oldman, who, as we established, sucks.
Yeah.
Plays Vlad the Impaler. I don't think they ever call him Vlad the Impaler. They just call him, like,
Prince Vlad.
Prince Vlad.
So he's out in these streets. Well, okay, first of all, they have, I think it's Anthony Hopkins doing the voiceover, too.
Yeah, and he plays, like, a priest.
Much later, yes, but,
yeah,
like an hour into the flick.
No, he plays Van Helsing, and then he plays, like, the priest back in time, I think,
too. I did not notice that.
Yeah, I think,
I did not notice that.
Pretty sure.
Probably. So
it was a wind tunnel.
I know. It's so 90s lit, like, of course it was just taken for granted that, like, we're rooting for the West here. Because it was like, the country and the entire continent is under siege by the Muslims. And it's like,
oh, that's...
we don't love that.
That doesn't sit right with me.
Right. And it was like, this Christian warrior, Vlad.
It's and like, they literally show the people literally sliding down...
folks.
They show people's bodies sliding down lances.
Yeah.
Like, they are
and that's your hero. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So they show him, like, going out to fight for Christendom and, you know, impaling.
And that's not really what happened, is it?
I don't think so, but I think it made a convenient origin story for the, like...
Okay. I thought, like, Vlad the Impaler was just, like, killing political enemies or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, bored.
Yeah, domestically, is what I assumed.
Okay, well, that seems like something we could have done as pre-show research.
Probably.
Right.
Yeah. I guess they're just letting anyone make a podcast now.
Honestly. But, okay, they show him doing that, and then he comes back, or... His enemies send word that he died, just as a fun prank call. Like, they call the castle, and they're like, he died. And his wife is like, oh, hail. And then, like...
And his wife, by the way, also played by
Winona Ryder.
Elizabetta.
Kills herself. Vlad gets back. First thing the priest says is like, you know what? I know this really sucks for you right now. She's also not going to heaven. Because she killed herself.
And that's the law of God.
And that's that on that, sis. And he was like... That's that on that, sis?
So that's the priest that's Anthony Hopkins. I think they establish him as, like, his enemy in the past and the now.
Oh my God, literally.
Through time.
Gorgeous.
Francis Ford Coppola's mind.
His mind. Wow. This whole thing feels very like Adam's Family, like kind of like CinemaScoped. I don't know. It just felt very like cartoony.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely stylized. I'm going to give him that.
Tim Burton is shook. Okay, so he's like, I'm so mad. I'm so mad about what you said about my wife. That God is my enemy now, and
I'm going to somehow stab a metal sword into a stone cross.
And out comes blood.
That will bleed, I'm going to drink.
He was a man with a plan from the jump. Like, oh, okay.
He said, well, if it all goes sideways, at least I can... I can do this.
He had in his back pocket that if things don't go so hot, he can always make God his enemy.
I guess so. I don't know what that's about. That's what
the five stages of grief. Number one, God is my enemy.
Number two, become
a vampire.
Number three, I'm going to find my wife 400 years in the future. Yep. I'm going to drink her blood.
And then, like, denial, grief.
Right, all that stuff. You'll get there,
but don't skip the first step so you really won't heal.
So then we skip ahead to, late 18th century, 19th mm-hmm. century London.
You meet a gorgeously stupid man.
So stupid.
So dumb.
Okay, so...
Sweet baby curtain-haired idiot.
The sanatorium was called Carfax, first of all.
What was their logo? Or not their logo, their tagline a while back? It was like, don't get mad, get Carfax.
Probably. Don't get mad, get Carfax. But mad, like, loony bin.
Oh.
Ayo. I mean...
Your mind.
My mind.
Powerful.
So we see... was it... not Nick Cave. What's this...
I knew you were going to call him that. Tom Waits.
Tom Waits. Both musicians I don't listen to.
Leonard Cohen?
I don't mind Leonard Cohen.
I don't know, because you slid into my mentions on Twitter recently. Talking all kind of shit about recently departed, beatified Leonard Cohen.
I did not mean to insult that song. I actually like it.
No, you did.
I just like that phrase.
Eat your words, bitch.
I listen to the song a lot.
It's a great song.
I'm just unclear on whether I love it. You know what I mean? Well, I'm fascinated by it. I'll say that.
Sure.
No, Tom Waits.
Who loves to act.
He loves to really give it.
In my pre-show research, I learned that he and Francis Ford Coppola have been friends since the 70s.
We love it.
I think they probably met at, I don't know, Cafe Gratitude or some bullshit. And Homeboy asked him to score one of his lesser known movies, and from there the rest is histoire.
Yeah. So Tom Waits playing a crazy man in the loony bin. It seems that he was a lawyer who went to Romania, or I guess it's Transylvania, but real Vlad the Impaler was in Romania, and met Dracula, and then decided to worship and, you know, be his servant. So people locked him up because they were like, this guy is crazy.
Trouble.
So his colleague is Keanu Reeves. Dumb old, dumb, dumb, curtain-haired mm-hmm. Keanu Reeves in mm-hmm. this film. Jonathan something or other.
It's like when you burn out and then your idiot colleague gets the opportunities that should have been yours.
Exactly. But his boss seemed to kind of be like, I know, I'm going to send him right into the frying
pan. And your boss tries to manage you out.
But did it seem like his boss was like,
I wasn't paying attention. I really was lost in Keanu.
It felt a little bit like mustache twirly, but they never come back to that guy. So I don't know why they would establish that. Anyways,
that guy had a small part, but then was like, no small part. decided to really take up a lot of space in the scene.
What would this character's motivation be?
And you know what, bitch? That's exactly what I would do. You give me a three-line part and I'm like, I'm really going to sink my teeth into this. Finally, a meaty part.
I worked with Stanislavski.
Yes.
So Keanu Reeves goes to Transylvania and he gets to this castle where he meets Gary Oldman in old man face.
Oh, this is gorgeous for a few reasons.
First of all, the nails, bitch.
The nails.
The wig, bitch.
It was laid.
It was laid, mama.
The hair is
How to describe?
When you do the Martha Washington in the pool, but you decide to bifurcate on the part.
Yeah. Technical here, but.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to be using some hair and makeup terms, and you you stop me if none of this makes sense. I also really enjoyed that his palms were furry for no discernible reason.
Okay, so this movie also seems to really conflate, like, werewolfism and vampirism. And being a chupacabra and turning into a rat king.
Turning into a bunch of rats was my favorite part.
I'm like, I don't understand what is he up to?
I can't wait. So I'm certain I've mentioned this before on the pod, but one of my favorite traditions of our marriage is that anytime I walk through the house naked like a Bigfoot, just across the hall from the shower to the bedroom. Craig is usually on the couch, and he just shouts, "Naked lady!"
Like, without a towel?
No, I'll have a towel. Or if I'm changing, it's always, "Naked lady!"
Oh, okay.
And I'll just go, "No!" And if he does the same, I'll be like, "Naked man!" I'll go, "Eat my butt." And that's just been our back and forth.
Charming.
It is extremely charming. But there's a scene later where he is, like, in the weird beast mode, and he goes, he sees Mina, and he goes, "No, don't see me." And I'm going to bust that one out tonight.
No,
I think.
No, don't see me.
Don't see me.
This movie is wild as hell.
Not don't look at me, but don't see me.
Yeah, okay, so at this point, Dracula, he's like being really weird to Jonathan and like, you know, "Oh, don't, you go ahead and eat. I've already eaten before you got here, blah, blah, blah."
And that's really good.
Thank you.
He is, like, making no effort to hide that something bad's gonna happen.
No.
He's like, "Why don't you go ahead and text your girlfriend that you stay for the next month?"
Yeah. But then he sees a picture of Mina, and he's like, "Oh, that looks like Elisabetta."
We could do this all night.
I could, and I will.
Yeah.
So then he, like, locks... Somehow he, like, gets him in this room with all of Dracula's brides. Now, there's, like, 8 of them.
3.
They...
1...
They seemed like a lot more than 3. But anyways, you're right. They probably was just 3.
There's only 3 Monica Bellucci's in the world, so
and they couldn't have one been of more. Them was Monica Bellucci, yeah. And boy, these women are all gorgeous.
Titties all out, too.
Very naked.
Yeah.
Extremely naked. And climbing all over him. And, okay.
He's like, "Oh, I hate this."
This is the thing that confuses me. I thought that we all agreed in vampire lore that once a vampire bit you, became a vampire.
There are a lot of rules that seem to have a lot of gray area here for me.
Yeah.
For me personally, for me, I'm not loving it.
Yeah.
I like rules.
In this one, it's like a vampire can bite you, but you don't become a vampire unless you also drink vampire blood. And then there may also be some other component to it somehow. I'm unclear on the rules here. I mean, that kind of makes
sense if you think about, like, subverting, taking
communion
and then you also have to have, like, flesh and blood.
Right. I guess. I don't know. It's
see what I did.
Hey.
My English degree popped out.
My mind.
This is embarrassing. Let me zip it back up. But we love to subvert a trope.
Yeah, we do. We also love to find the Christ figure.
It ain't here.
No, it ain't here.
Maybe Jonathan Harker. I don't know.
So, that's his name, Jonathan Harker.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's like he is writing one thing to Mina, but the letters that are getting to her, I think, are being written by someone else. In Transylvania, because they're like, "Things are going great. Sunshine. I have had
hello,
plenty to
Fata.
Eat." Exactly. So, meanwhile, we see Mina back in London with her friend Lucy, who is having fun.
Okay. No, and I love her.
Lucy was having hot girl summer.
She was.
She had 3 suitors.
Mm-hmm.
And these boys.
Each one cuter than the last, except for Richard E. Grant. Bless him.
But these
who
guys
has
being boys.
His charms?
Boys being guys. They just stick together, even though they're all competing for the same lady love.
It's for like, the boys.
for the boys.
Yeah.
So. One of them's a Texan, one of them's Richard E. Grant, and one of them is Carrie Elwes.
Tag yourself, I'm the Texan.
Oh, we both are, hon. Mm. We're both Texans. Mm. Okay, fine, I'll be Carrie Elwes, because as we all know, I'm extremely hot.
There you go. Something for everyone.
Okay. Anyways, so Lucy serving, this is Sadie Frost, by the way, so the mother of Jude Law's three children, serving Extreme Anne Margaret energy, just bubbly redhead.
I love that you busted that out on me earlier.
Like, I did.
Oh, she's, you know, she's got like an Anne Margaret vibe.
Yeah. There's so few, like, you know, 60s big haired redheads to draw from, but she's giving you that. And so she, I guess Dracula sees this picture of Mina as like, I'm coming to you, girl. I'm coming to London. So he gets on a boat and he brings like coffins full of Transylvanian soil to sleep in. Sure. Like you do. And, but for some reason, like he sleeps with Lucy as a werewolf. Like,
okay. I don't understand his fixation on her at all. Maybe he needed blood.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
But like, why would he go after?
Maybe he needed blood so that he could become hot. Attractive.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense to me.
So, but yeah, like, I don't understand how he turned into a werewolf.
He has that capability.
And then he, like, compels Lucy. Like, she seems like she's, like, sleepwalking. And he sleeps with her and drinks her blood. And then she wakes up, like, naked, like, what's going on? Oh, mm-hmm. No. By the way, though, that cape, dreamy. That red cape trailing
behind
her. She
turned looks. She turned nothing but looks.
Look after look after look.
Honestly,
after look.
I think she had, no. Well, who, yeah. No, she had the gold nightie. Yeah, she had all the best looks.
Yeah, she has a lingerie wardrobe.
Yeah, it's unreal. Which I should also note, the costuming in this film is very good.
I think it won an Academy for costumes and for makeup.
You can
and for sound editing.
Yeah.
Which those are the three things to
you
give it.
You can see the, like, orientalism mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. collars and all that. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt very, like, highly informed of the time.
Exactly. But, like, maybe, like, more colorful and amped up for the screen, which I appreciated.
Yeah, but not, like, cartoonishly so.
No. No, it just had a point of view.
Yeah. I'll give it up to them on that.
So, once Dracula looks like Gary Oldman again and not, like, you know...
But he still is a very creepy Gary Oldman.
Oh, girl.
His hair is like...
All Gary Oldmans are creepy. All Gary Oldmen are creepy.
That is true. It just felt like his hair was like really gross.
It was like 6 inches too long for me, for my comfort. And then he had those spin doctor's glasses.
The Dua Lipa glasses.
Yeah, Dula Peep. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing this like male gaze extreme in the extreme thing where he's like standing on the street and just like staring her down. And listen, fellas, not that we have any fellow listeners other than Tag who already knows this, mm-hmm. but women don't like to be stared at in that fashion.
No.
And Mina lets him know that. Like she's like,
oh, I loved that.
Leave me good day. And he's like, somehow he like, I don't know, like transfixes her in some weird way. They go to the Nickelodeon. And, like, watch them.
What was it? The cinematograph.
Cinematograph. Stupid. And then he, like, pulls her aside and, like, I don't know. Like, I literally don't understand.
I think he was giving her fall in love with me fog.
Okay.
They show it a few times where it's, like, and it, like, crowds her brain.
So gross. Yeah. Then they, like, have, I don't know, a dinner together. And suddenly she's, like, that's it. I'm willing to, like, risk it all.
Yeah.
For this guy.
It's like Ellen at the baseball game with W.
Okay. She said, be kind to everyone. Even vampires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even war criminals.
So then Jonathan finally manages to escape the like castle and goes to some convent. Oh, did Lucy die before Mina goes? No, it's while she's gone.
Yeah, but she's, like, on her way out.
Yeah, so Mina's like, I'm about to leave. I gotta go to Jonathan. He's like, we're gonna go get married. He's, like, graying. I don't know.
It's goofy looking.
It's so bad.
He sexed the life out of his hair.
Okay.
It happens. Ask any man I've been with. They're all bald now.
Oh, no. Oh my god, this wind tunnel.
The production value on this show is incredible.
It's Coppola-esque.
Frankly.
Okay, so while Mina is gone, Gary Oldman, first of all, is like, wait, she went where? And he goes and like...
He's real mad about it. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm fully going to make you a vampire.
He rapes her, yeah? Nothing about that screams consensual to me.
I honestly was, like, looking at my phone.
Yeah. Lucy doesn't seem, like, super aware of what's happening.
Then that's a hard R.
Yeah. So, vampire stuff is just so, like, the Twilight movies had the relationships between vampires and their chosen folk
and consent
are not healthy.
It's never.
It ain't healthy.
What? Should I not be a vampire as my cryptid?
You do you, boo boo.
Women vampire women wouldn't do this.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't. I don't know.
Women vampire women would never. And that's important to know.
My God, this air conditioning needs to calm its tits.
It's gorgeous.
Okay, so Lucy becomes a vampire and starts to deteriorate quickly. And these three boys, gather. They also get Dr. Van Helsing, Anthony Hopkins, to come help them. And he's, like, they, like, take blood with this, like, old-timey blood drawing machine, which was terrifying. And they find the fang marks on her. And they put, like, garlic wreaths around her room and garlic around her neck and all this stuff. And then, ultimately, though, she dies. And they put her in this glass coffin.
Mama, that's exactly how I want to go out.
It was chic.
Put me in that shit.
It was chic. So they bury her. And then Van Helsing is like, she's undead, though. I'm going to show you. So he takes them boys and they go look. And sure enough, the body is gone.
Mm-hmm. One of them whips that gun out with a quickness.
He's like, Van Helsing, like, what did you do with her?
Yeah.
And then they see her coming in with a child. A child.
That was terrifying.
That was terrifying. Thank God nothing happened to that baby.
An IMDb fun fact that was like, fun fact, the child actor in this scene was actually terrifying. It's like, yeah, kids can't act that well.
Also,
she was screaming.
Yeah, like.
And also, duh.
Like, look at her. Someone that's not her mother wearing full clown white.
One of those times you should have hired a 22-year-old to play a 6-year-old.
Right.
You know.
That's what you do. Anyways, thankfully the baby doesn't get hurt. They do manage to defeat undead vampire Lucy by driving a stake through her heart and cutting her head off and whatever. Mina and Jonathan arrive back home and Van Helsing is like quizzing Jonathan about what happened. Like, did you ever drink any of their blood? And he's like, no, honestly, I didn't even know what I was doing. My brain is like busted, but I did not do that. So then they go to the crazy place. They talk to the crazy dude, Tom Waits. And they're like, okay, Mina, you're going to be safe here. You're going to stay in the doctor's apartment.
But Jane, though.
At this mental facility. And then Vampire turns into Slimer somehow.
Yeah, I did like that. I really enjoyed that.
And like, turns into, like, green fog, climbs up her bed.
And, like, fully, like, climbs in those nostrils, like, infects her brain.
Yeah, and like, he's,
you're
like,
you're gonna fall in love with me.
Yeah, and she, like, wakes up, and she's like, my love, I want to become a vampire like you. And so he bites her and then has her, like, drink blood from his nips, like.
Well, just below his nips.
Okay, but
it
still.
It was sexual.
Weirdly, though, gotta tell you, kind of weird. I believed she was into that in that scene. She sold us on that.
Winona Ryder,
despite not being able to do an English accent to save her literal life, is a good actress.
It's important to note the difference between being able to do an accent and acting.
Right.
You know, one is a tool and an actor's toolbox.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of an example of someone who nailed the accent but couldn't do the acting.
Probably, like, Gwyneth. I mean, I don't know. I think Gwyneth's actually a pretty good actress.
But Gwyneth, like, also has British parents, doesn't she?
No.
I know that Blythe isn't, but isn't her dad?
No. Her dad was American.
Okay. There you go. Gwyneth's whole vibe is like.
Do you know, I was thinking British. About Gwyneth when I was watching this because of that essay in that Alana Massey book.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was talking about the Gwyneth Winona like dichotomy. And she was like, hey, sweetie, here's a secret. That whole thing is just another way men try to like classify women because the real tea is that those two were friends with each other. And I was like, okay.
And that
is that on that.
I really don't love Gwyneth. And let me tell
actually
you why.
Do. I like, I know that Goop is a problem, but I really love her.
But it's not like divorcing the art from the artist. Like, this isn't art. She's built a cottage industry on like spreading medical misinformation.
Yeah.
And selling you yoni eggs.
Yeah. Like,
there is an actual problem with that in my mind.
Yeah.
Do I want to be her? Oh, sure.
I guess maybe that's it. Like, I find her aspirational. I would
love to forget the Marvel movies I was in and was paid millions to be in.
Right.
That's ideal.
Right.
Love to name my kids goofy shit.
Yeah.
And consciously uncouple from their hot dad to move on to another hot dude.
Yeah. I guess I just, yeah, I do find her aspirational, and I, like, have enjoyed so much of her work. I will say that this current iteration is more harm than good, but.
Right. But that's just how I feel.
Yeah. Anyway, so Winona acts the hell out of this scene, basically, like, turns into a vampire, but, like, at that moment, Alden boys come tumbling in, just a rat's nest full of boys, all of them, and Keanu standing there, his hair's looking white as white, like, full-on baby powder in this wig, and he's like, oh, Mina, what happened? And she's like, unclean, 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 as Dracula first turns into a chupacabra.
Yeah.
Slash, like, or, a like big bat.
Like, bat boy.
Like, a big,
from,
big,
like,
bat.
From, like, National Enquirer.
Yeah, like, but, like, 7 foot tall bat boy.
Yeah.
And then
he becomes this, like, gigantic,
like, rat king.
Golem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but when he's like,
oh,
your god doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
Like, it felt very like the animatronics on the hit TV show Dinosaurs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, they probably spent so much money on this scene trying to make this happen.
The money that was spent for this to look so dated, it's it's important to, like, keep those things in mind. And how much everyone was, like, absolutely seeing their J's over Avatar when it came out. How many people told you and me, oh, you must. You simply must go see Avatar.
Listen, I've, like, still never seen it, and I never will.
At home, like, I just don't want to see it. And now, can anyone tell me the plot of Avatar at all?
No.
No one remembers it.
I will never see that film.
The money that went into that, and it was, like, technologically amazing. And then, like, I'm sure it probably still holds up visually now, but 10 years from now, it'll be a friggin' joke when all of our movies are in, like, I don't know, augmented reality.
Right. Yeah, nothing about anything to do with Avatar looked like it was for me, so I didn't look at that.
I also feel like in spookiness, like, you should just go with classic things that don't, like, push the imagination too much. Like,
right.
Okay, so Midsommar's terrifying, but that's all literally shit that could happen.
Right. Well, and I was gonna say, like, we watched Woman in Black last year.
Mm-hmm.
They don't rely, I mean, like, they show, like, a scary woman, you know, but, like, that's just kind of, like, classic ghost stories.
It's more like the unknown.
Right. Like, the creepiest stuff is, like, the rocking chair rocking itself, mm-hmm. you know? And you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, I'm going to crap my pants. Like, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, trying to make, like, an animatronic bat boy slash golem slash rat king, like, y'all, this ain't it. So he climbs back into his, like, last remaining coffin of dirt and gets back on the boat to Transylvania. And
this
Keanu
is my last dirt box.
Thank God I have it.
Down to my last dirt box.
So Keanu's, like, narrating, like, we had this great plan that we were going to take the train through, straight through, while it was on a boat.
First of all, really good.
Thank you.
Not quite as good as your Hannah Gadsby, if I'm being honest.
What a guy.
Yes. But I, at that point, it felt like DVD commentary. Like, yeah, it's really interesting about this this scene is that I was freezing cold.
Yeah.
But it was like him telling us the plot. The whole thing, I was like,
and they show, like, a map with dots. I mean, really and truly, like, I think Francis Ford Coppola was like, what are some creative ways we could visually tell this story? Let's use a map.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use blood cells.
This was a guess what goodie of shots.
It was wild. And then so they're on a train. Like, literally, there are so many things in this movie where I'm like, why?
I don't know.
Like, here, let me ask you this. These three guys that were Lucy's suitors, after Lucy has turned into a vampire, been buried in the ground, had a stake driven through her heart, had her head cut off, are still like, cool, yeah. I got to see how this plays out.
Was light that week. It was the 1800s. There
sure.
were no good stories on.
I'll head off to Transylvania, no problem.
And the cinematograph got ruined.
I guess so. Somebody got some love dust in it or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they are all on the train with Lucy, or sorry, with Mina and the boys, and they get to Transylvania, and then, like, I mean, I just, from this point on, the wheels really fell off. Like, it was like Mina starts trying to seduce Van Helsing. She has this, like, it's almost like it's not Mina, though. It's like vampire Mina. So she's like, you wouldn't do that to me, what you did to Lucy, would you? She told me how she wanted to sleep with you. I get it. You're so hot.
And there's also, yeah.
Anthony, like, Hopkins with this dusty wig is like, yeah, I know. And he makes out with Winona Ryder. And I'm like,
that's the energy.
That's yucky.
That is the energy. Like, being fully, like, 1 foot in the grave, being like, yeah, I know I'm hot. What about it?
White men are wild.
What are you gonna do? And then what?
And then, so then they, like, stand in a candle of circles for some reason. Oh, that came up earlier.
Candle of circles?
Sorry, a circle of candles. Dracula at one point stands in the middle of, and I don't know, they don't give you the context for where these candles came from. He is standing in a circle of, like, hundreds of candles and just goes, wind, 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 wind. And you're like, what?
Do you think this movie made the assumption that we read this book in high school? Because I didn't. I read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
I didn't have to read either of them.
Frankenstein slaps.
Well, I'm sure it does.
It's a good movie.
Mary Shelley's cool, though, too.
Yeah. Not a good movie. I haven't seen a movie. It's a good book.
Yeah. Anyways, so all that to say, somehow, through a bunch of weird shit, Mina ends up back in the castle. And then the funniest thing I've ever seen is disintegrating Dracula, who looks like, I don't know, like a crinkly, what's this, Voldemort / like naked mole rat thing.
Yeah, and it was disgusting.
Like, she like is like, oh my love, I love you so, and like
sucks
kisses
the
it.
Blood off his lips.
And then she like drives this like a dagger of something through his heart. So then he turns back into Gary Oldman for a minute, and then he like dies. I don't know, girl. I don't know what I was supposed to take from this.
Honestly, I think it was, I regret watching it in two installments in a way, because it was like, what?
I had to rent it twice.
You gave a lot of money to this.
I rented it. Oh, God. And now I'm saying that I could have gotten it for $2.99 from Amazon. I paid $3.99 from iTunes. I rented it on Sunday, and I was like, I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to watch it tonight. And then I got halfway through, and I was like, I'll come back to it tomorrow. And never did.
Mistake.
So I had to restart it. So get this shit cost $40 million to make, and it grossed $215. What do people think of this? Consensus cited some terrific performances.
Yeah, I was going to say the reviews weren't bad.
Although Keanu Reeves' performance has been widely criticized. Just his?
Well, you'll recall in Much Ado About Nothing, he was also the weak point there.
He was bad.
He does not belong in period pieces, nor does he belong doing any accent other than California.
That's true. Yeah.
And yet,
here we are. So, yeah. I guess at the end it says, it's in the chapel where he renounced God, Dracula lies dying in an ancient demonic form. Ugh. He and Mina share a kiss as the candles adorning the chapel light up and the cross repairs itself. Dracula turns back to his younger self and asks Mina to give him peace. Mina thrusts the knife through his heart, and as he finally dies, the mark on her forehead, oh yeah, Van Helsing put like a communion wafer on her forehead and it like left a mark.
Oh yeah.
The mark on her forehead disappears as Dracula's curse is lifted. She decapitates him and gazes up at a fresco of Vlad and Elisabetta ascending to heaven together, reunited at long last. So I'm like, what happened to her and, like, Jonathan at that point? Are they cool? Or, like, like,
yeah, they weren't clear on that, were they? Because honestly, okay, look, I wasn't paying attention to notice if there was some hard R happening. I was rooting for Dracula and Mina to be together.
Oh my God.
But you know, I've been to Hot Topic more than you have.
What? Okay. So
talk to me.
We were talking about, Molly was reading about the production, and apparently Gary Oldman and Winona Ryder had beef.
They like were fine at rehearsals and then went away for a week, came back, and they would not speak to each other off the camera.
So, okay. Coppola brought in acting coach Greta Seacat.
That's me.
to coach Frost and Ryder for their erotic scenes, as he felt uncomfortable discussing sexuality with the young actresses. However, he did ask Oldman to speak seductively off-camera to Frost while they were filming a scene in which she writhed alone in her bed in ecstasy. Ew.
Gross.
She later classified the things Oldman said to her as very unrepeatable.
I knew it was something like that.
Mm-hmm. Winona Ryder found the intensity of Oldman's acting style too much at times. The two fell out early
in
the filming.
That's a way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Fell out early in the filming process and had difficulty working together from then on. Coppola stated they got along and then one day they didn't. Absolutely didn't get along. None of us were privy to what happened. Ryder has referred to the trauma of the experience and said that she felt there was danger while working with Oldman. Bloop.
As you said correctly, I believe her. Before we even knew any of this, you said, I believe her.
Although apparently now she says they're friends. However, she's referred to her friction with Oldman as teen drama, stating he was going through a divorce. And I think I can say this because he's pretty open about it, but he's been sober for a long time now and he's raised 3 kids and he's a dream. He's a good friend of mine now.
Okay.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Sure.
Winona, don't minimize your pain. He was a dick.
Right. You don't have to do this.
Anyway, so Winona has been done dirt, basically.
I love her.
I do, too.
I cannot begin to tell you. I remember seeing Black Swan in theaters.
Uh-huh.
And just gasping when I saw her because I was so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, this movie is weird. It's got a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't need to ever see it again. I can imagine, like, at the time, people were like, wow, look at these visuals. But,
it's not for me.
Not for me. It was not for me. I was reading, though, that, it kind of crystallized some of our, like, visual vocabulary about vampires.
Okay.
Like, the retractable teeth thing.
I did not know
this movie.
Wow.
Yeah. The steampunk aesthetic tied to vampires
came from
this. And
we could have guessed that.
Yeah. So I guess in that way, you know, he was an innovator. But I guess I also just don't really know that vampire narratives are for me. Like,
no, they're definitely not for me.
I've seen the Twilight films, all of them. They didn't do much for me.
You know, Nicole recently copped the fact that she finds the honeymoon scene to still be kind of steamy.
Oh,
it's God. Like, Nicole, they just broke furniture. And that young woman is a homosexual.
Leave her alone.
Let her stay home and Les out.
Yeah. Anyways.
You know what, though? She was brave to say it.
Yeah. Hey, vulnerability.
It's so key. Brene Brown would really be proud of her.
She would. Now that the air tunnel has finally dissipated.
Oh, thank God.
Thank
After the meat of the episode.
Lord.
So glad. Thanks.
So, what would you like to watch for next week's Spooky?
I was going
to
suggest The Others.
I love that idea.
I have never seen it.
Girl, are you serious?
It's Big Stupid.
Bitch, it is so scary.
I love Nicole Kidman.
It is so scary.
Oh, and I didn't realize Christopher Eccleston was in it.
We love him, too.
I like him, too.
Yeah, this movie will, oh boy, it's really scary.
Okay, all right.
I mean, if it is what I remember it being.
Get my hands a little dirty
scary.
On this one.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say about Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Like iconic hair.
Oh, iconic hair. The wig was laid, mama. I was also going to mention on the episode, I mentioned this to Molly before, Bram Stoker himself. Kind of a good egg, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He was from Dublin, married Florence Balcom, who was like a noted beauty who had previously dated Oscar Wilde, our boy, one of our boys. And apparently Bram Stoker was like a big promoter of his work and like put him up for some like award when they were at Trinity College in Dublin. And then he, after Oscar Wilde had kind of like fallen out of grace, kind of social graces after his whole arrest. I don't know what you'd call it. Like after he was disgraced, I guess I should say.
Sure.
Bram Stoker visited him on the continent, which was very kind.
Nice friend.
But yeah, so gotta, you know, give him ups. He had a weird mind if he came up with this story, but.
Sure.
You know. I guess we stand creativity. I don't know.
We do.
But yeah, so good job, Bram. Way to be a supporter and a friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
And next week we'll watch The Others starring Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
All right, bye.
Bye.